5:15. Okay, remember that. I'm having a hard time getting started right now because right in the middle of that last song, I leaned over to my wife and I said, you know, I said, he's here. When God shows up, it kind of messes your compass up, you know, because you don't, what I do, I don't want to go where he don't want to go, and I don't want him to leave, you know what I'm saying? So I just automatically start saying, God, whatever you want to do, let's just start doing it, right? I don't want to try to pull you in no direction you don't want to go. And I was about to say, Scott, sing this other song, but then all of a sudden it was like God said, no, it's time to preach, so I guess we'll preach. I want to say this, mind the Lord. I'm going to try to mind the Lord the best I can. He gave me a lot of liberty in this message. We're going to do a series here for the next 4 weeks on Sunday morning. So if you can make it, be here. If you can't, we record the sermons. Go back and listen to them. It'll be called the Light Series. And today the message is when the light passes by. When the light passes by. I'm going to give you about 5 verses, then we're going to go back and we're going to get into what God's given us today. Hopefully, you'll go out of here better than you came in. Amen. That's what our goal is for you to go out of here better. If you need salvation, get salvation. It's a free gift. If you're going through some stuff, God can fix that, help you start fixing it today, and he can go home with you. Amen. Let the message go home with you. John chapter 9, and Jesus passed by. Are y'all seeing that? And Jesus passed by. And Jesus passed by and saw a man which was blind from his birth. And his disciples asked him, saying, Master, who did sin? This man or his parents, that he was born blind? And Jesus answered him, This man hath sinned, nor his parents, but that the works of God should be made manifest in him. I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. Jesus passed by. And I want to tell you this right now. I want you to hear this. Jesus passes by still today. Jesus passes by. And listen, when he passes by, you can't mistake who he is. He's not the church, he's not religion, he's not a Bible, he's not a hymn, he's not a song, he's not an individual, he's God. And when God passes by, you'll not mistake it. Because he changes stuff. He's light. He said, I am the light. When light walks into darkness, darkness knows it. I don't care how lost you are. I don't care how messed up you are. I don't care what situation you came out of. I don't care how bad at home it is. I don't care if your family's upside down and backwards. I don't care if your work's upside down and backwards. I don't care if your ministry's upside down and backwards. Marriage, kids, whatever. When God walks by it, you'll know it. You'll know that's God and he's trying to shine some light in my life. The difference is, will you open up the blinds and the doors, or will you try to get him to go on by? Amen? Will you try to get him to walk on by? I wanted you to know this. Hebrews 4:13 says this, neither is there any creature that is not manifest in his sight, but all things are naked and open unto the eyes of him with whom we have to do. That last part just sets me on fire. The one whom we have to do. There's somebody that knows you better than anybody else. It's God. And he's having something to do with you. And you say, well, how do you know? Because you're sitting here this morning. He knows you. He's looking at you. And you want to write this word down. You're exposed to him. And that's a good thing. We're not always exposed to each other, are we? We only show a little bit of the story. Some of y'all have been blessed and man have joy and have experiences that some will never have. And some of y'all have got hurt and pain and experience that you would probably never tell. Amen? That you would probably never tell. And you cover that. Cover it well. Maybe with sports, maybe with activities, maybe with even a skill, maybe even with some knowledge. But you cover it well. but God sees it. And it's a good thing that God sees it, because he can see past our fronts and see our heart. He can go right to the hurt if you'll let him and heal it up. Some of you come to church on a regular basis, and if we knew your whole story, if we knew what it took for you to get here, if we knew what you went through when you were a kid, if we knew what you went through, I'm gonna be real as I can be this morning. Some of you prayed all night long sometimes, listening for footsteps, hoping doors wouldn't open, hoping nobody would come in, and you prayed. Some of you have prayed, I hope he don't come home drunk. I hope he don't come home drunk tonight. Some of you prayed, I hope he don't kill my mama. You say, why are you being this way this morning, preacher? Because when I got up this morning, God said, be as real as you can be. There's people sitting in your congregation. On the outside, they look good. But at home, they're a wreck. God wants you to know he's passing by this morning, and he can handle your hurt. He can handle those situations. He might not get you out of it tomorrow or the next day, but he can get you out of it through your spirit. He can break you loose in your spirit, and he'll begin to change your family through you. He'll change your situation through you. We don't talk about some of those things in church because we like to cover stuff up and hide it. We like to hide stuff. We like to put stuff in boxes where nobody will ever find it. Because if it gets out, so-and-so is going to be really hurt. If the truth gets out, that's going to embarrass somebody. Jesus was openly crucified on a cross, naked, stripped, and beaten, because he didn't care to get embarrassed for your sin. So if you've got something hidden, God says, bring it to me. I'll set you free. He walked by a man and they looked at him. His disciples said, who sinned, him or his parents? I don't know how many times that question got asked about me. Who messed this one up? Was it his mom and daddy or was it him? I hate to tell you, it was neither. I was born this way. I was born in darkness. Nobody ever had to show me nothing about sin. Nobody ever had to tell me not to. I was going to find a way anyway. I found a way to get into dark places. I found a way to sit in dark places. Some of you have found ways to sit in dark places. Some of you, you didn't know what it was like to make drugs, but you found a way. Some of you didn't know how to search the internet and find what you wanted to look for, but you found it anyway. And you're having a hard time getting out of a dark place. But light's coming by. But light's coming by. Light walks by and says, I can get you out of that. While you're sitting in your darkness, you're also sitting on your purpose. Amen? You can sit in your darkness, but God sees your purpose too. Because guess what he said? He said, Jesus answered that neither this man has sinned nor his parents, but that the works of God should be made manifest in him. While you were sitting in your darkness, God could see the purpose in your life. Some people look at you and say, who messed up? God said, ain't even started yet. Who messed up? Messed that one up. That's not messed up. I ain't even started working with it yet. Gosh, some of y'all need to. They ain't messed up. It ain't even begin. I ain't even begin to draw. They haven't handed me the pencil yet. They're writing their own story right now. When they hand me the pencil, the chapters will really begin. If they'll ever hand me the pencil, I'm about to say it, so buckle up. If they'll ever give the pencil back to me. Because some of you gave it to him, and he was writing some mighty good stuff. Can I have it back? I would like to put some of my own spin on the story. Because I don't really know how you're taking me. But can I remember when your mom and daddy used to teach you how to right? And they'd put their hand on top of your hand. Anybody? Let me show you how to make that C right there. We're trying to do the same thing to God. Hey, I jacked my life up so bad, and you found me in the darkest place possible. But God, I don't know how this story's kind of going to go. Can I have the pencil back? Or at least can I put my hand on your hand? I just feel God going like this. If you'll let me write it, it's going to end well. If you want to write it or help write it, not so much. Amen? Who sinned? This man or his parents? He's sitting in darkness. Yep, but guess what? I see his purpose. How many of you didn't even know you had a purpose in your darkness? My goodness, you thought you were that was the end of you. And Jesus showed up in your darkness. So God gave me some people. He gave me some people. How he walks by. When he walks by. The first people he told me, he said, there are some masses. A lot. There's a lot of people in this room. Amen? Jesus walks by corporately a lot. And he does some crazy cool stuff. But if you're not careful, you'll sit here and you'll eat the fish and you'll eat the bread. And you'll be full. And you'll leave. And you'll say, man, what an awesome God, man. I could feel him. I could taste, man, he was exciting. But you'll walk out of here, and all you'll talk about is how he filled you up. Amen? Jesus fed 4,000 and 5,000. Amen? Two different times. He broke bread and fishes and fed a multitude of people. But you know what I seen in that? There was more people who walked away from Christ than ever stayed out of that whole multitude. The only thing they thought of is they thought, well, you know what? We should make him king or president. That way he can take care of us. I hate to tell you, the king or the president or the government will never take care of you, period. Amen? You know who's going to take care of you? Jesus. Because he's going to meet a need that's deeper than your physical need. It's a spiritual need. He let 4,000 people leave full. He let 5,000 people leave full. They were talking about the miracle, how they got filled in their physical, but they forgot, you know what? I think that same Jesus can meet my spiritual need. We're quick to say God's good when we're way up here, but we hardly say it when we're in the bottom. Amen? God's good all the time. Period. Amen? Period. The religious group. I love them. Amen? I do. I love the religious crowd. Amen? They got a form of godliness, but they never know the power thereof. They mess around with godly things, but they never, they major on the minors and minor on the majors. Amen? They worry about how you dress. They better worry about how you look. They worry about little things like that, but they don't care about what your soul's going through. One time, they took Jesus, and right before the crucifixion, they brought him to Caiaphas' house. And they had a bunch of people trying to accuse him. And one after another, after another, after another, they couldn't figure out a way to get him accused. And finally they just asked him, are you who you say you are? I am. At that point right there, they should have let him go. But my favorite one was when one of the Pharisees, I can't even believe this story's in the Bible. I can't. There was one of the Pharisees. I don't know how he come about it, but he went up to Jesus and he said, hey, I really don't want you at my house. I really don't even think I believe in you. But would you like to come to dinner? And I think Jesus blew his mind. Sure. Sure. I'll come. And he walked into this Pharisee's house, and the Pharisee was like, man, wait till you see my place. It is amazing. Wait until you see how I do things in my house. He's talking to God who stepped out of heaven into earth. Do you ever try to think maybe you impress God? About how you do church and how you do things and how you do ministry and how you do yourself. And you're sitting there going, hey, God, what do you think about that? And God's saying, I don't know. It's kind of dull compared to where I'm from. Amen? But he walked in this Pharisee's house, and when he did, he said, go ahead and have a seat. And Jesus kind of looked around. He's like, all right. He goes, I'll get you some food shortly. Okay, all right. Thanks for the invite. He sits down, and all of his disciples sit down with him, and maybe they begin to eat and talk and have a conversation. And about that time, the door opens, and a woman walks in. She's just got an alabaster box of ointment. Just walks in the room, doesn't say a word, doesn't ask. Now, automatically, the Pharisee looks and says, what in the world, what is she doing here? You might have that feeling when you walk into church sometime, but God invited you. That's why you're here. Why is she here? And she just walked up behind Jesus, broke the box open. The ointment that spikenard, it filled the room. I mean, it blew them away. The smell, the fragrance was so strong. It was like, whoo, God. And she just began to pour it over his head and make sure, and it ran through his hair and through his beard and down his tunic, and it began, and all of a sudden she said, I noticed that nobody's washed your feet. And she got down on her hands and knees and took the hair of her head, which is a glory of a woman, and dotted it with the tears that were running down. Sometimes you got to cry in the presence of God because he is. And he passes by, and she began to wash the feet of Jesus. And a Pharisee in the room said, does he even know who she is? The devil says that about you today. Does Jesus even know who that is who's in church? Some of y'all are sitting here right now. You look good on the outside, but man, and the devil's trying to accuse you, and maybe some religious stuff's trying to accuse you. But all you know is Jesus is passing by, the religious person, and they don't know what to do with him. And I'm a sinner, and I really don't know what to do, but I know better than to do nothing when God's here. Amen? Some of you should say, I know better than to do nothing when God's here. Amen? So she began to wash his feet, and they're like, man, I can't believe she's doing that. Does he even know? That's a sinner. And Jesus is so awesome and so cool. And he leans over and he says, hey, Peter. Peter's like, yes, sir. If somebody owed me $5,000 and another person owed me $500, he said, and I just frankly forgave them both, which one would be more grateful? And Peter thought he was so smart. Oh, I know the answer, Jesus. The one that owed the most. And he's like, you're right. He said, there's one right here that's worshiping me who owed a whole lot. But you know what? Because she came in here and doing what she's doing, a whole lot's being forgiven. Amen? But see, there's somebody sitting here that maybe just owes a little. Amen? You just owe a little. Your sin compared to some other people's sin. Oh, man, you're doing pretty good. But the problem is, sin equals death. And no matter how much sin you have, whether it's a little or a lot, it still has the same ending. So the person who has a lot that comes and pours herself out before God and looks foolish, guess what? That whole thing gets forgiven. But the person who's just got a little, sometimes they can rationalize and say, well, I'm not so bad. I'm not as bad as that person. So I'll just try to get into heaven on who I am. Guess what? You don't get in heaven by who you are. And I had a hard time writing this one down, the normal. I had to write it down. I've been wrestling with it ever since, because some of the most normal people are the ones that are most jacked up. Amen? But let's say the normal like this. You got a good job. You got a good wife and family and nice place to live, and everything's going good. And the first ones I thought about was the disciples. They were fishermen. You know how Jesus walked by and the Sea of Galilee and said, follow me and I'll make you fishers of men. I thought about that one. And then tax collectors, Matthew. Matthew is one of the coolest ones in the Bible. Matthew, if you get into scriptures and really learn about him, he walked by and he said, Matthew, follow me. He gave up his tax collecting job, but then he went to his house and made a cookout. Okay, he went to his house and made a dinner, but I'd call it a cookout. And he invited all of his tax collecting friends. Ain't that cool?
Because he met Jesus, he wanted to meet all the scribes and tax collectors. He said, come over. I just don't want to get out. I want everybody to get out. He goes, come over and have the deal. I bet he had those meals all the time. I bet he had those cookouts all the time. But this time, somebody else was coming to the cookout. Said, God, I'm preaching to you. Listen, you ain't got to change everything about your life. You just got to put a little bit of Jesus in it. No, never mind. If you like to cook out with Jesus. If you like to play sports with Jesus. If you like to study, study with Jesus. If you like to, golly bum. See, the world don't need to see perfect people. The world needs to see people saved who introduced them to Christ the way they introduced them to everything else. Amen? He's over there cooking and flipping them steaks and making those potatoes. Hey, Bob, this is the way you like it? Hey, Joe, is this the way? Hey, Janet, you like them like that? Yeah. Well, where's the drinks at? Don't worry. I got new wine. Never mind. Y'all get that later when you get home. This ain't going to be the same old party. This ain't going to be the same old thing we used to do. It's going to be better. Amen? Golly bum. I thought about them, but then I got to Nathaniel. Nathaniel, when he meet him, it's pretty neat. Nathaniel was, he was laying up under a tree before they come and got him. And they said, hey, we think we found the Messiah. He's got kicked back under a tree. Now, his life is pretty normal, but he was laying up under that tree, and he's sitting there, and they come to him. It might have been Andrew. Andrew's like, hey, we found Jesus. Hey, you need to come on. We found the Messiah. Yeah, where he's from? He's down there. No good thing. No, that ain't him, right? That's not him. He goes, but I'll go with you anyway. Nathaniel's walking up to there, and he starts rolling up on Jesus. Now, this is my version, not the King James. He rolled up on Jesus, okay? They walk up to Jesus, and Jesus said, Nathaniel, well, there's a Jew, that you're a Jew that has no guile. You was laying up under the tree, and I said, he's like, you are the Messiah! That quick. He said, because I told you that you were laying up under a tree, I think he said, you have no guile. I think he was sitting there under that tree, laid up, looking up into the heavens. And he says, Jesus, God, is it worth living it this good? Think about it. He wanted to forgive people all the time. He wanted to be kind all the time. He wanted to do the right thing. And I think he was looking up into the heavens going, hey, God, is it worth this? Is it worth it being this way? Because I'm getting ran over. I'm getting beat. Have anybody in here try to live for God and it just gets you beat down by life? I think he was looking up and all of a sudden, here come Andrew. Hey, come on, buddy. I want you to meet this guy. And he gets to him and he's like, there's a Jew man with no guile. It's worth living that way. Automatically believed. You know what he told him? He said, if you think that's awesome, you're about to see angels ascending and descending. We're about to open up something to you that you're going to talk to your kids and grandkids about. You're going to write in the, you're going to show this for eternity if you think that's something. But ain't it amazing? A lot of times it ain't the big stuff that pulls you out of your normal life into a life of Christ. It's just those little things that you really want to know, and God hits it right on the head, and you're like, man, I'll follow you. I love that. Then I started thinking about the outcast. The first one, the woman at the well, you know her. I've preached that so many times that some of y'all right now are making a mental note. Don't do it again, brother. But I would if I wanted to. Amen? And I started thinking about the woman who got caught in the very act of adultery. Amen? You remember her, right? I love that. That's one of my favorite stories because I think that was one of the most incriminating stories. They took a woman caught in a very act of adultery. They wrapped her up in a sheet, and they took her to Jesus had prayed all night, and then he was teaching Sunday school at the temple, or Saturday school. I don't know what you call it. Sabbath school. Sorry. And they brought her in the sheet, man. Could you imagine? And they just rolled her out right in front of Jesus, in front of the Sunday school. And they were expecting Jesus to crush her, to kill her, to judge her. That's what we want Jesus to do to some people. And he didn't. He judged the people harder, that broader than the person who was doing the sin. Never mind, I'm sorry. Some of y'all need to hear that. He's harder on the people who want the judgment more than one who committed the sin. I love that. Atlanta, just expecting, can't wait. Where's that first stone going to come from? Amen. Is the living stone, Jesus Christ, going to fall on me? The cornerstone of the church has got to fall on me. No. Go, hey, your sins are forgiven. Go sin no more. But my favorite one of all the outcasts is a demonic man, demoniac. Y'all know him, right? This dude don't need, he's all alone. How many of y'all ever been all alone, dark places? This guy lived in the tombs. Man, it's bad when you're living in the graveyard. I believe he lived in the graveyard because that's probably where all of his friends lived. If you look around and more of your friends are dying and in jail, you might want to talk about God. He's sitting in the tombs and he's looking around and he's going, man, all my dead friends, he's got all these scars and he's bleeding and he's got chains and he's shackled. And I believe with all my heart, at the same time, 5,000 people are getting fed on the other side of the sea. And Jesus hears a plea, God, if you're real, I don't want food. I want you. And Jesus says, get in the boat. We're going somewhere. Get in the boat. We're going somewhere. We're going to meet somebody. I see the disciples all excited. They got in the boat. You know how that went, right? They had the storm all night. They rowed. And it said they tried to bail themselves out all night long. And they got tired. And when Jesus came along and got them out of it, they're like, we were trying to bail. Well, don't you care that we're dying? And they're like, don't worry. We're going to the other side. And they get to the other side. They're all worn out. And they're just, I mean, they're frazzled, man. Five sun up. And all of a sudden the boat hits the shoreline. And they're like, praise God. We got out of the storm. Hallelujah. And here comes a naked dude. All these scars and chains running right at him. Full speed. And all of a sudden he hits his knees and slides. The pebbles and the rocks are flying. This dude is a wild man. He's got a legion of devils in him. And all the disciples are like, get in the boat! Come on, Jesus! Let's go back to the storm! Because sometimes it's easier to deal with storms than it is with people. We'd rather deal with weather than we would with people. We'd rather deal with something we know we can't fix than dealing with people. And the whole church is trying to get out of there. And Jesus said, no, this is where we were heading the whole time. This is where we were heading the whole time. I need this guy. He's lonely and he's broken. And he's without. And he ran down there. Man, his demons. Boy, demons are loud. Anybody got some demons? Boy, they're loud, ain't they? My demons were. You're no good. Kill yourself. Destroy yourself. Give up. Don't ever go back to church. Hide. Cover. Man, I'll show them. Got any of those? God, I could go on some real ones if you really wanted them. But here it was. I could hear them. But all of a sudden, he got down there and he goes, we are legion, for we are many. Your devils try to sound big in the presence of God. Some of y'all are listening to your devils this morning. You'll never stop drinking. You'll never stop looking at pornography. Your marriage will never work out. You need, man, you hearing it, man. It's like a drum beat. Hey, guess what? But God's sitting there going, God looked right at him and said, we are legion, for we are many. Jesus, and he goes, and then all of a sudden, right past that statement, they said, oh, Son of God, why do we have to deal with you today? What do we have to do with you, oh Son of God? Please don't cast us into the swine. If you'll just stick around Jesus long enough, the things that are tormenting you and scaring you will be afraid of the Jesus that's in you. Amen. It'll go from boasting to begging. It'll go from boasting about what they're going to do to begging God not to destroy them too early. I love that. It's my favorite place in the Bible. It is. It's one of my favorite places in the Bible. Because guess what? Next thing you know, that man is clothed. Where in the world did Jesus get clothes? But he got saved, and the first thing he did is he used to put some clothes on this guy. And he clothed him. And guess what he said? And he was sitting in his right mind. Jail couldn't fix him. People couldn't fix him. The whole Gadarene couldn't fix him, but just one encounter with Christ, he's sitting calmly at the feet of Jesus on the shoreline, and the whole town, there were some people who seen Jesus throw him in the swine, and they seen the swine run down into the water, so they went and told the pig farmers that their pigs were destroyed, and they came out, and they seen their worst, I mean, the guy they used to get on the, I know they didn't have phones, but they would get together and say, you know so-and-so's son, the crazy one. The one who breaks all the chains, who got put in prison last week, the one that hangs out in the graveyard, the one that cuts himself. You know that crazy man? You know him? Do you know him? Do you know her? Has there anybody in here been the topic? Do you know what she did this time?
Well, guess what? The whole town come out, and they were upset with Jesus. Not because he had cast the demons out of the demonic man, but he had killed the pigs. Listen, everybody ain't going to be happy because you got saved. They're going to be mad because when you get saved, things that people depend on are going to leave. I'm sorry. They showed up, they walked down there, and they were like, and one thing they depended on more than anything else is comparison. As long as you stay in your sin and your mess, they can compare their kid to your kid. Their marriage to your marriage. Your drug addiction to their drug addiction. Your porn addiction to their porn. Oh, at least I'm not as bad as those so-and-so down there bound the graveyard. When he gets saved, what happens? You got to look at you. I hate to tell you this, you got to do that anyway. Amen? They're like, oh, well, you know, he's down there at the graveyard. But they walk down there and all of a sudden he's sitting at the right feet of Jesus, worshiping Jesus. And they're like, hey, would you please leave? Amen? Would you please leave? Okay. Jesus said, all right, pack up, boys, let's go. I got who I came for. And I know y'all have heard me preach this, but I just can't help it. This demonic man who was living in the tombs, cutting himself, wearing chains. I mean, the darkest person there. He was like, oh, I can't do it. Listen, he's sitting in the boat. I bet he's on the right corner of that thing. And he sees Jesus walks over the boat and he's like, hey, buddy. Yeah, Jesus, yeah. I mean, I'm with the 12. That Judas guy is suspect. I mean, I picked up on something on him right away because, you know, if you don't know this, sometimes your sin can help you see somebody else. Amen? He's like, listen, Jesus, I know you showed up with you and your 12 boys, but that guy over there, he's suspect. Some of what I had in me, I think he has in him. I'm just saying. So why don't we leave him here? And I'll be your number 13, and we'll just ride out. I know this is not the King James Version, so don't be mad at me. And Jesus said, no, I want you to do something. I want you to stay here. And he tells him two different things. One in Mark, one's in Luke. He said, I want you to stay here and show. And the other one is, I want you to stay here and tell. So guess what? He left an agent there to show and tell what Jesus had done in his life. And you know what? And the Bible said, and he did. Can you see him? I see him, don't you? I see him with all of his scars and all of his mess and all of his past. He's probably got he's got a different kind of shirt. He's got a shirt. It's fun. He's got a different kind of pants. And he's just walking through town. God bless you, brother. Hey, it's good to see you. Man, and everybody's going, hey, you know who that guy was? Who? That's the guy. He was naked. He was all scarred up. He stayed in a prison all the time. And when he broke out of the prison, he would run straight to the graveyard. He helped most people get in that graveyard. Man, they named that graveyard after him. But what happened? That Jesus showed up one day. And he's never been the same. He's been showing and telling. He's telling them about Jesus. And he's showing them that he's scars. See, look, I have scars. I've got a problem. But Jesus came along. Amen? And I started thinking about the sick, the lame, the deaf, the blind, and the bent over. My favorite was the bent over person. Amen? 18 years she had been coming to church. And she was all the way bent over. And Jesus came in. Could you imagine keep coming when your life is upside down and backwards all the time and you can't see stuff right? Some of y'all keep coming to church, but your life is upside down and backwards, and you've been seeing Jesus wrong for so long. You think he's somebody who's trying to destroy you. He's keeping score, but all he wants to do is give you grace and mercy and forgiveness. All he wants to do is straighten you up and give you a walk you've never had before. That's what he wants to do when he passes by. When he passes by, he changes lives. The light comes on. I love that day when he come to the church and she's kind of way back in the back in the corner and bent way down. Nobody, you couldn't even see her. Jewish custom was the women were separated almost by like a lattice in the part of the service they were in. All the men would sit here and the women would sit over there. But at some point in the service, I think she got up and she says, I'm sick and tired of being bent over. I'm sick and tired of being in this situation. I'm tired of letting the devil keep me down. I'm tired of it. I love what he says. He said, woman, be thou loose. My God, some of y'all need to be loose from some stuff. You've been bound down, looking up and backwards your whole Christian life. It's time you say, hey, God, let me see you the way you see me. Golly, Pum. That's the sick. I love this one. The ones that are past help. Anybody in here got some past help people? Of course, it's easy. Jairus' daughter, past help, right? Lazarus, past help, right? But my favorite one that God gave me, this one right here, was the woman, the widow woman who was taking her son to bury him. Have you already buried somebody in your mind? Have you already put somebody in the ground? Have you already gave up on somebody? Have you already said there's no hope? They're dead. Ain't no chance. What a woman. They did the wrong thing. They passed Jesus on the way to the funeral. I hope he did it this way. I don't know if he did. They had the bear in there. You know, they're carrying it. And as they're passing Jesus, I just hope he went. You know what I mean? I just hope he stuck his hand out and went, I'll turn this funeral into a party. I'll turn this funeral into a celebration. I'll turn this funeral into something we can celebrate on. I'll turn everybody's mourning into joy. I'll turn everybody's crying into laughter. I'll turn a dead person into a live person. I couldn't help it, but I was thinking about Chris when I heard that this morning. How many birthdays weren't great birthdays? But now you're celebrating. Hey, man. You're thinking, man, I wonder how many birthdays they got left. I wonder how long they'll make it. And the crying turned into joy. Amen. Whew. I was thinking about this today. What are you going to do? Are you prepared for when Jesus passes by? Are you prepared? I believe he's wanting to pass by you this morning. And you say, what do I do when he passes by? Let him shine the light in your life. And just like every one of these, don't let him go by without saying, let it change me. Let it change me. If you got some things in your life that need to be changed, everybody stand up. Does that come get a song?